Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels that come to me each and every week and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of that love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in that darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday in some wishful thinking kind of way, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into our message today, it is time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from Margaret. Margaret writes, Dear Father Chapin, every day, every minute, every hour is a choice. God or the world? What's the next right thing to do? This is what daily living means to me. I thank you for being a voice in the darkness for those who will listen. Life is gift. God bless you. Margaret. Wow, I like that letter. Thank you, Margaret. Next up is Bud. Dear Father Chapin, while I know that you are not the one who laid out the path I am to follow, you do a very good job of walking in front of me with your leaf blower, blowing away the debris of this world so that I can focus on what is truly important. Your friend, Bud. Wow. Thank you, Bud. Both those letters, amazing. So nice to hear from you. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We're getting ready for a message. Are you ready for the Lord to speak to you today? You know, some people say, well, the Lord never really talks to me. And I'm thinking, hey, do we listen? As my father used to always say, God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much. Do we? Do we listen? God wants to speak to you today. And He does it in many, many ways. But one way that He does it, one very powerful way that He does it, is His Word. Because you see, His Word is alive. It's not just a book with, you know, pages of words printed out. No. It's alive, and it will speak to you where you are. The question is, are you ready to listen? We're going to school, my friend. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw Him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is. It's short, but it packs a lot of punch. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. But we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today, we find ourselves at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, in a Gospel that has come to be known through the years as the Great Commission. But I think that a more appropriate title would be Our Marching Orders. So, where to even start? Well, let's start by understanding that throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes it very clear that if we are going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to claim that title as a disciple of Christ, then we need to understand that we are in a perpetual state of war. Jesus makes this very clear. He says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And of course, that is true. And we talked all about that last week when we were talking about that word sanctified, because as Christians, we're sanctified. What that means is that we are separated from this world. Jesus also tells us that if we follow him, the world is going to hate us. Why? Because it hated him. And you don't got to look too far to see that that is true. Christianity is and has been for some time under attack. So yes, we are at war. Now in our gospel today, we have been given a mission to fight this war. So, where do we begin? I guess we can begin by understanding the fact that we are in at war. I mean, because if you don't realize that you're at war, then, well, you're pretty much a sitting duck, don't you think? So that's the first step, realizing that you're in fact in a war. The second step is to prepare for this war. Now, to prepare for this war, well, you got to first understand what your mission is. Because without a mission, the war is lost before it even begins. So when I think of war, my mind goes to the Great War of World War II. Now, during World War II, one of the great challenges, and there were many, was how do we move troops quickly from one battlefield to the next? So in 1946, the millionaire Howard Hughes took up this precise challenge. Mr. Hughes decided that he was going to personally design and then build a huge airplane to carry troops. Biggest airplane ever. Now, this, of course, presented many challenges, the first of which is, well, was, due to the fact that the war was going on, steel was in short supply. So Mr. Hughes decided to build this airplane with reinforced wood. And of course, everybody just laughed at him. Are you kidding? Really? Wood? But he built it. Called it the Spruce Goose. Now, everybody thought, well, it's never going to fly. Total waste of money. But guess what? It flew. But you know, in the end, the Spruce Goose never carried one soldier. Not that it literally crashed and burned, but the mission did. Now, not too much later in the 50s, early 50s, the Navy decided to build the largest ship ever constructed for the same purpose. Called it the SS United States. It's going to carry troops into battle. It was the fastest ship to ever cross the Atlantic Ocean in either direction. Still to this day, holds the record of the highest average speed. But once again, it never carried a single soldier. Because eventually, the SS United States was converted into a luxury ocean liner where it carried passengers in great comfort till 1969. Today, that ship is parked in Philadelphia on the Delaware River, just rotting away. Never carried out its mission. So, while the Spruce Goose might have kept a whole lot of people busy, gave a whole lot of engineers things to do, it never carried out its mission. And the SS United States, same thing. instead of fulfilling its mission to carry troops into war, it became a comfortable place to take a cruise. So rather than being a tool of war, it became nothing more than a comfortable place to sit, which sadly sounds like a perfect description of many of our churches today, a comfortable place to sit. We have built churches with great engineering. They're beautiful buildings, great preaching, serve their communities well. But as far as mission, which in case you forgot is go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. You know, that mission? Not so much. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you even saw somebody being baptized in church? When was the last time you saw somebody personally, you, coming to Jesus? Or even more to the point, when was the last time that you, or anybody else for that matter, invited anybody to church? And look, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about this, okay? But the fact of the matter is that most of our churches today have become ocean liners of comfort rather than churches at war. And don't get me wrong, I'm not pointing my finger in judgment at this or that church. I'm talking about all churches. We passively and quietly meet on Sundays, almost like in secret, wanting not to be ridiculed. We may even fly a little bit, like the Spruce Goose, or pass the hour really quickly in comfort, like the SS United States, but it sure don't feel like warfare. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. Now, is it just me, or does anybody else think it's kind of strange that Matthew would choose to end his gospel with all that had happened with doubt? I mean, really? Some translations say some doubted, but our translations today say they doubted, which is much broader, begging the question, why? Why do they doubt? Well, let's consider that word doubt. The original Greek word for doubt that is used here is defined as having two minds or twin minds or to be double-minded. We see this very same word used when Jesus is walking on the water. Remember that? And Peter called out, Lord, if that is you, command that I come to you on the water, which, by the way, is a very Peter-esque thing to say, don't you think? Anyway, we know how that worked out. As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And you know, there's probably a homily in there somewhere. But anyway, Peter cries out, Lord, Lord, help me. Jesus reaches out, saves him. What does he say? Why'd you doubt? Why did you doubt? You see, when Peter was called by Jesus and he stepped out on the boat, onto the water, he was walking on the water. I mean, he was doing it. But as soon as he looked at the wind and the waves, one mind was saying, you know, you can't walk on water. So he's got two minds. One mind is following Jesus, and the other mind is following his own experience. So what happens? He doubts. He sinks. Again, we find the same word in the upper room. Remember when Jesus appeared to his disciples? Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? In other words, why do you doubt? And they're terrified because, of course, they think they're seeing a ghost, something demonic. Once again, one mind had heard Jesus say, I will rise on the third day. But the other mind said, dead people don't come back to life. So today, as we come to the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, we're facing the same word, doubt, two minds. Of course, we live in a world of two minds, don't we? I mean, it's everywhere. In fact, it's getting to the point where you can't really be sure about anything these days. Truth seems to be replaced by two minds. Consider marriage in this country. Do you understand that 50% of marriages in our country today fail? I mean, that is a coin flip. And I know this is a touchy subject here, but bear with me. In the beginning, it starts out with that first love, you know, gushing with love and devotion. But statistics show that half the time, it doesn't work out. Why? Well, may I suggest that the vast majority of marriages don't work out because of two minds. One mind says, I will love and honor you all the days of my life, meaning I'm all in. While the other mind is thinking, but if I'm not happy, I'm out of here. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking about two minds. And for many of us Christians, this is our struggle as we try to follow Jesus in this fallen world. Two minds. The first mind is when we came to know Jesus, when we first came to know Jesus, when we first believed, when we were all excited, and we were filled with what Paul calls first fervor. We were all in, like that couple just starting out, gushing with love and devotion. That's one mind. But then life happens. Storms come. We get wounded. This world can be a very cruel and difficult place. And it takes its toll. And often we leave that first love behind. We leave behind that total commitment as the passion fades, doubt creeps in. Where did Jesus go? Second mind. Two minds. Hear me when I say, my friends, we have been given a mission, and this mission cannot be carried out with two minds, because this mission requires that we return to our first love. Remember when Peter denied Jesus three times? Remember that? And then later on, Jesus caught up with Peter on the beach that morning. What did he say? Do you remember what he said? He had a question. Do you remember what question he asked Peter? In fact, he asked him three times. Do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. What did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. In other words, if you love me, take on the mission. Maybe we should ask ourselves that same question. Do we love Jesus? Let us stand in Peter's shoes and imagine that Jesus is asking us that question today. Do you love me? Do you love me, or do you struggle with two minds? Remember, when Jesus first called Peter to the mission, he was a fisherman. Remember what he said? He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women. As church, this is what we are called to do. We are called to be fishers of men. And those who are called to fish, when we don't fish, they fight. And we have a very fancy word for this fighting. We call it denominationalism, which is a very nice way of saying we can't seem to get along. Because instead of fishing, we're fighting amongst ourselves. And that, my friends, is not the mission. Then Jesus said to them, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. Now, I want you to just consider this situation. Let's try to put ourselves in this situation. I mean, here you've got a ragtag group of ex-fishermen and tax collectors, 11 guys, which, by the way, are full of doubt. And here we have Jesus announcing that he is putting his entire life's mission, the mission, in their care. And he's telling them to go make disciples of all nations. I mean, can you even imagine? Try to put your mind around that. I'm thinking that they're probably looking at each other going, you know, maybe we might need to get back to Capernaum and get a few more guys for this one. I mean, really, all nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? You mean like John the Baptist? And by the way, who is this Holy Spirit? We've heard talk about him a time or two, but we've never met him. And how are we supposed to teach them to observe all that you have commanded us if we ourselves don't understand why you're standing here? I mean, in fact, we don't understand anything. We thought you were dead. Sheep among wolves? That does not sound like a good situation. Now, it might be very tempting for us 2,000 years later to sit back and think, really? You're telling me that Jesus is entrusting his entire mission to 11 weak and sinful men? And the answer is, yes, he is. And by the way, the they is us. Because we are weak and sinful people, and we have been given this mission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. If we are followers of Jesus, if we're going to wave that flag, this is what we are called to do. We are called to go out into the world. We're not supposed to wait for the world to come to our church. No, we're supposed to go out into the world. That's our mission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So let me ask you a question. How do you think we're doing? I mean, seriously. If we were to give ourselves a report card on this mission, how do you think we're doing? I mean, let's be honest. Our churches are shrinking. In fact, did you know, and I just heard this recently, that right now, our country is experiencing the lowest church attendance in its history, you know, per capita. And you might say, well, Father, see, well, you know, the pandemic and all, I mean, what did you expect? And I hear you. I'm sure that's a big factor, but it ain't the only factor. I can assure you that before the pandemic even hit, our church, I'm talking about all churches, have been in decline and on life support for the last 20 years. Why is it? I'll tell you why. Because we're not carrying out the mission. So how do we do it? How do we carry out this mission? Where do we begin? Well, number one, it begins with you. And if you're sitting in a pew with two minds, hearing Jesus ask you the question, do you love me? You need to return to your first love. Number two, if you find yourselves in regard to this mission full of doubt and fear, well, you know, you're in good company. This is where the first disciples found themselves on our mountaintop today. If that's you, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the mission to you personally. And this is critical. Crucial. We cannot expect to effectively carry the message if we do not first fully understand and believe what that message is. Number three, we need to become single-minded. Why do you doubt? Why are you so afraid? Yeah, I know we're at war, but never forget, all power in heaven and earth has been given to our general, and he's already won the war. And finally, most importantly, if you're feeling like a sheep among wolves today, pay attention to how our gospel ends. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age. This is how Matthew concludes his gospel. And you know what's funny? and not in a ha-ha sense, but in an interesting sense, this is exactly where Matthew begins his gospel. Matthew begins his gospel quoting prophecy. What does he say? Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So Matthew ends where he begins. I'm with you always. And that's true. Jesus is with us right here, right now. And I'm not talking about the power of Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about his presence. The presence of Jesus is with us. I'm with you always. And my friends, this is true. Jesus is with you today, right here, right now. Are you ready to become a soldier? Are you ready to go all in? Are you willing to carry the message to a confused and wounded world? Or are you holding back as you struggle with fear and two minds? Regardless, there's a whole lot of work that's got to get done, and it all begins with a question. And that question is, do you love me? And if the answer to that question is yes, then get out there and feed my sheep. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.